Hi, this is Tracy Swedlow, editor-in-chief of Interactive TV Today and the co-producer of the TV of Tomorrow show.
And this is Colin Dixon, founder and chief analyst at Endscreen Media. And this is Tea Time.
Tea Time. Welcome to our podcast. We're all about TV and technology and talk.
And we are.
Colin, you're where?
I'm in Oslo, Norway. I'm giving a presentation to a group of telecom operators tomorrow morning, and a little bit jet lagged, just got in, but we have some really interesting things to talk about. And in fact, there's one thing in particular that both, I think, really quite upset Tracy and I this week, didn't it? Didn't it, Tracy?
Yeah, it upset a lot of people. It's the demise of Filmstruck, which is Turner's service they launched 2 years ago. To enable you to watch classic films, little scene films, independent films from the Criterion Collection, and of course, Turner Classic Movies and Warner's Collection. So, and it was designed by UI Labs, which is now part of the Turner experience. But it's a beautiful direct-to-consumer app. I definitely subscribe to it. It's ending at the end of this month, or at the end of November, rather, November 29th. What did you think, Colin?
Well, I'm like you, Tracy. I'm very, very sad for the demise of Filmstruck. As you say, UI's implementation of the interface was quite simply the best, I think, implementation of an SVOD interface out there. I have spent many happy hours wandering through that interface, just enjoying the way things are put together, watching snippets of movies that I've seen before. It was just a super, super browsing experience, really engaging, great introduction to the movies. The content on the site was just top rate. The way it was curated was top rate, and boy, I'm like you, Tracy. I will miss it greatly because I subscribe to it. I even subscribe to the Criterion Collection as part of it too. And it was a regular stopping point for me, particularly on weekends when I had a little bit of spare time and I wanted to grab a classic movie. So very, very sad indeed.
And it was more than just the movies, right? Like you were saying, it was the occasional host intros by Ben Mankiewicz, or by Alicia Malone or other people, and other extras like trailers, but you can get that a lot in other places. But you could get additional videos. Robert Osborne from Turner Classic Movies might have talked to a specific star or somebody who loved that movie, you know, from the past. There was just so many more assets to peruse beyond just the movie. You could really get an entire film education, and just the database that they've got organizing this content and must be remarkable. That in itself, I think, would be a value. I bet you people would just subscribe to the database itself. And it's a major shanda, as they say in Yiddish, which means a shame that this is going on, because, you know, people are using it to educate their children. I know I was, to educate themselves. But, you know, why is Warner Media doing this? I mean, but we know why. It's because AT&T, which purchased Turner, has decided to consolidate their efforts and I guess get rid of what they perceive as peripheral services like Filmstruck, like Drama Fever, which was the Korean direct-to-consumer service that was very popular, actually, and also Super Deluxe, and we had their CEO on here, well, on Radio ITVT. You know, that was a children's, YouTube influencer network. So, I mean, it's very strange. I guess they want to compete with the big guys, big girls. Tell me more about it, because I know you have a lot to say about that topic.
Yeah, they do. They do. So I do, you know, I wrote about this actually before the announcement of Filmstruck. I wrote about what I saw AT&T doing with Warner Media. And I got to tell you, Tracy, I recognized that Boomerang, Filmstruck, and Machinima were all at risk.
Machinima. Yes.
That's right. Because Mr. Stankey, who's the CEO of Warner Media, had said that the three of those added together had less than 500,000 subscribers, which I actually found surprising. I thought Machinima certainly was doing much better than that. So I did anticipate that this would be these three services would be vulnerable. The way I saw it, though, I really felt like Filmstruck, maybe this will happen, that there will be Filmstruck will live again, but inside of this new app that they're putting together. And the reason I think it fits pretty well is that what John Stankey has said, Tracy, is he said, he said obviously they're going to launch this new HBO anchored service in Q4 2019. And he's made it very clear that he thinks there's a much bigger opportunity for HBO content than is currently being achieved online. They have 5 million subscribers to HBO now. By the way, it grew superbly last year, grew 3 million subscribers in 1 year last year. So it is doing pretty well. And here's what he said he wanted to do. He said, our service will start with HBO and the genre-defining programming that viewers crave. On top of that, we will package content from Turner and Warner Brothers with their deep brand connections that touch both diverse interests and mass audiences. So I think what's going to happen here is we're going to see the AT&T really doing with this new service a bit like what Disney is doing with its service next year. So I fully expect to see the Harry Potter series, the Lord of the Rings series, DC Entertainment favorites like Wonder Woman from Warner Brothers showing up in this, as well as hits like Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon, which are produced by Warner Brothers, although those two shows appear on CBS. And library titles like ER. So you're going to see all of those, I think, wrapped up in this new service. Less clear, but will be very interesting if they could pull it off. Warner actually is in a joint venture with CBS, that is the CW. And of course, CW really appeals to much younger people. They have shows like Riverdale, Arrow, and The Flash. Now, I don't know if they can get them in to this new service. Right now, those shows are actually licensed to Netflix. But maybe those licenses are up by 2019, and that's why they picked that date, because they're going to redirect them. Warner Media is going to redirect them into their service, and maybe CBS into theirs as well. And of course, that's not to say that TNT and TBS don't have a bunch of stuff to provide. They do. The Animal Kingdom, The Last Ship, Angie Tribeca, Wrecked. So I think there's a good chance they can put together a really interesting service. I just hope that the movies that we love will show up in there too, Tracy.
I know, but to some extent, I think there may be, you know, OTT app overload, you know, and that people, you know, will get overwhelmed by one service that aggregates everything. And, you know, those companies will have a vested interest in featuring certain types of content and featuring the content that does better. And then the classics and all of those other services, and, you know, are going to get buried and more buried. And so you'll have a more difficult time finding things. I don't know if that's true, but I can imagine, you know, it, like Netflix. Netflix buries that stuff. They really promote their original series. And so I worry that Filmstruck like services that completely are a fashioned, you know, a polished diamond, really specifically catering to that niche audience that wants that service right away without having to think about it, you know, that sort of expertise, that editorial curation, those extras that Filmstruck offered will be completely lost. And for example, when we moved from essentially a DVD renting society to an online streaming society, we lost the extras. And I know Zane Vella from Comcast, from Watch With, was, you know, bemoaning the fact that we lost all that the potential of metadata, but Filmstruck kind of picked up that, you know, responsibility and ran with it. And I am worried that these, like I said, these aggregated services won't give the consumer who wants those kinds of movies the those extras that they want. And I don't know. I think that certain services like CBS, you know, they they are successful in as much as that they are pushing out that new content, like the Star Trek Discovery, but a lot of that other content, I wonder, all that long tail content, does it get buried? Will the classics be buried? Anyway, I'm just stating that for the record. I also point out that, or let me hear what your opinion is, but I also want to mention quickly that Fandor, which is another movie specialist, you know, direct to consumer service, is offering a 57% off today for any previous subscribers of Filmstruck. And they claim that they'll be able to honor that based on your Filmstruck username. Now, how they know that, it's not clear. How did they get the database? I am not quite sure. Right now, it costs $59.99 for the year, but I believe their price is going down tomorrow to $49 for the year. And then so Filmstruck subscribers will be able to jump in for $24.99 for the year. So they're trying to capture that audience because they know that that audience is upset, stressed, and looking for a home. What do you think about all this, Colin?
Well, certainly, I'm going to definitely be checking out Fandor because that sounds like a good deal to me. You said a couple of things which I've thought quite a lot about, Tracy. And the first thing is that DVD bonus features. I am very, very sad that we have never been able to come to agreement on a standard for this. And so what now you have is a real hodgepodge in digital land. So if you go, for example, if you go and buy a movie on Vudu, the movie may be portable, but if there are bonus features available, those bonus features almost certainly won't be portable outside of the Vudu experience. And it's the same if you buy in Comcast or Amazon. Some movies do have those bonus features and do come, but you can only see them in the place where you actually purchase the movie, because it's a non-standard format. So this is very frustrating for consumers, and I really don't know why the studios haven't done more to resolve this.
I don't see why they don't monetize it. I mean, it's absolutely something that you could upsell. You could sell it as a special subscription. You could do it on demand. All of those commentaries by the directors, to lose that is, again, a shanda. A shame.
It is. And the one thing I haven't looked at, Tracy, is I haven't looked at what Keychest does, Disney's Keychest, to see how that supports. But even then, I'm pretty sure that it doesn't support, because Keychest now actually works with quite a broad array of movie stores online. So, for example, if you buy a movie on iTunes, that movie will show up in your Keychest if you have linked the two accounts. But I'm pretty certain that if the movie you bought on iTunes has bonus features, that the bonus features probably don't. I need to double check that. So that might be something that we should return to in the near future, because I think it's a very interesting topic, and I'm really frustrated that it hasn't been resolved. And maybe we can get my friend Craig Seidel from Movie Labs to join us, and you can help us sort out the technical challenges here and what's real and what's not. So that's actually something that we should definitely follow up on, Tracy.
Actually, Colin, John Zamoyski, who is the CMO of Fandor, has just joined us.
Oh, wonderful. Hi there. Welcome, John. Welcome, John.
Thank you. I apologize. I just came out of the subway in New York City, so I apologize for any ambient noise behind me.
No problem, John. We appreciate it. It was kind of a last minute to see we could get you on here. So we really appreciate it. This is Tracy Swedlow and Colin Dixon. And I'm from ITVT. Colin's from Endscreen Media. So welcome to Tea Time.
Thank you.
And I'm actually in San Francisco. Oh, yeah. We're thrilled. We had Albert Reinhardt speak at the TV of Tomorrow show in the past. So we're
Wonderful. Well, I happen to be in New York this week, and I'll be in your fair city next week.
All right. So we just talked briefly about the Filmstruck issue, direct-to-consumer, Warner Media, AT&T. And of course, we mentioned you and Fandor specifically, that you are offering Filmstruck, disgruntled Filmstruck subscribers right today about 57% off, tomorrow about 50% off deal to join Fandor for $24.99. So We want to hear all about that. And Colin and I are massive film buffs here, and we applaud what you're doing. Good idea. Why are you doing it?
We're doing it. Number one, obviously, it's a good business decision for us, and it's a great way for us to get people to sample us who may not have been at this point. You know, as far as I'm concerned, today you shouldn't stream without us at some point. Clearly, there are other players in the business, both the big boys, the Netflix, the Hulus, the Amazons. But there's also players like us who are getting more and more involved in a much more diverse area for an audience that wants more than just what might be the current hits or specific areas and specific genres. This is a tough space in some ways. You know, not only has Warner made announcements and consolidated and closed things down, but you also have Tribeca had a streaming service that they've closed down as well.
Yes, that's we feel, right.
Mm-hmm. We feel that we have an obligation, number one, to be able to not just curate this area, but also to get people involved with it. You know, this can be a one-way communication or it can be a community. And from our perspective, the community aspect of this is what's really exciting. There are many people out there who find that they want more, they want more interesting, and they also want to discover things for themselves. I used to be on the board of a local art cinema, which was very similar to a Fandor in that it was documentaries, foreign films, indies, and international film. And the one thing that was wonderful about it was you didn't always know what you were going to see. But 95% of the time you came out saying, wow, I'm really glad that I saw that. So it's that sense of discovery that we want to foster among our membership. And I say membership, not subscribers, because what we're doing is we are now starting to roll out and develop our program as a membership program more than just a one-way subscriber program. In that we are going to be, as we are expanding our product, getting involved with the film festivals with benefits for our members to be able to take advantage of at those film festivals, to be able to take advantage of at local independent cinemas. We want to be part of people's lives and a hub for that. And the best way to do that is to give them an opportunity to sample what we're doing.
That sounds pretty exciting. Go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things I noticed is that you curate a lot of foreign movies, a lot of international movies. Tell us a little bit more about how you go about doing that.
Well, it's really an interesting process, and I'm not necessarily the most qualified to talk about that, but I will tell you this. What's really interesting is that we get over 500 direct submissions a year from producers, directors, from people who are doing passion projects. And out of those, about a third of those end up on Fandor. And we're actually looking right now at developing a festival of those films that's going to happen in the spring of 2019. So we review them. We have a wonderful programming department led by Gail Gendler. And Gail, who had come from Sundance Channel a while back, and a whole team backing her up, as well as a full editorial staff that does both video and written editorial of all different types, not only talking about those films, but talking about the industry itself. So what we do is we try to attract a very broad view of the industry that isn't what you're going to see when you turn on your television and see the latest Hulk movie being advertised. So we're looking for people who want to discover. You know, I always say that there's three principles that we work on. Number one is passions are the passports to influence. And people who are passionate about film really love us because we have over 4,000 different pieces of content, both long form and short form, and we keep adding to it and switching it out. Number two is everybody wants to get to the head of the line. And of course, in our case, you're always at the head of the line because you have the opportunity to get to the head of the line with privilege to see these things. And number three is everybody wants to be a discoverer. Everybody wants to be an explorer. And this gives you the opportunity to do that and to be the person who first can tell their friends. So whatever it might be, it's not just international. There is so much out there that is interesting, that is engaging. We want to be able to be the home for that and for people to say within their consideration set, that this is part of my experience. We're not the whole experience, but we're part of that experience.
We were just talking about the fact that, you know, Warner, you know, AT&T may take Filmstruck content and integrate it perhaps into their OTT app service that they're going to offer down the road, and how this content might be buried. I was suggesting that because they're going to be in a position where they need to promote the things they spend the most money on, like Netflix does to their original programming. And, you know, I worry about that versus a service like Fandor that is there to really showcase those films right there. It's not necessarily about original. It's more about finding the classics or the new stuff, but not necessarily pushing original content that you've paid millions or billions of dollars for. So I want to hear a little bit about that. But we were also talking about the power of extras. And you guys provide trailers and things like that. But I'm wondering if you're going to go down the road of offering more extras beyond your just editorial, your videos of commentary on films, you know, the director comments and things like that that you traditionally can get on DVDs. Filmstruck offered a lot of that. I think it's a huge missing opportunity for not only sharing amongst the people who are passionate, but also potentially upselling or, you know, driving additional commerce.
Well, it's interesting. We take great pride in our editorial department, and that editorial department is both doing written editorial as well as video editorial, short form videos, articles about different things. We're getting as many as 800,000 views on some of this, on some of the social media sites. And we feel that there's an obligation on our part to give point of view. And it's not just point of view about what's on Fandor, it's point of view about what's happening in the film industry. So I'm with you 100% on that. We put out a lot of editorial every day and pushing it through social media as well as on our own site. And we feel that not only is it an obligation, but it's a privilege to be able to do that because people do want more and they want to learn. And we definitely intend to expand that now with what we're doing. I think Filmstruck did an excellent job within the library that they had. But we're even going farther than that as we talk about the industry, trends, all of that area. And we want to be able to be the home for that, where people are going, not just searching for what they know, but also discovering what they may not know.
Talk to us a little bit about how you do curation, because I think that was one of the things that that I found that Filmstruck really hit it out the park with, that they did great curation of the content that they have. And I'm really interested to hear how you're handling that aspect, how you draw people's attention to certain genres or certain actors or directors, or what's your theory for doing that inside of Fandor?
Well, number one is our recommendation engine, which we're very proud of, which has a patent pending on it right now. Part of the job that we feel we need to do is, instead of just, if you've just seen the latest Marvel movie, they don't just suggest you hear the other Marvel movies that are out there. We're tracking what people are doing with their social media, what their interests are. We're asking them to self-profile so that we can give them true recommendations on what they do. So part of that curation is based on what they want, because if we're not answering whatever that they've asked for, then we're not a service to them and we won't be relevant to them. And relevance is a very important part of it. From a curation standpoint, our programming department is looking at a balance between all of the different areas. There's a great interest in editorial. There's a great interest in foreign film. And of course, in the indie world and the international world. So we try to balance it out and we try to make sure that there's enough. And most importantly, we listen to our members. And that's the best way that we can do our curation. What we are doing, and what I will tell you, is right now we are rebooting in the middle of a complete technology reboot of our site, and it's going to actually expand what we're doing in the area of self-curation. And I'll leave that to your imagination of where that's going.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about that. I cannot wait to hear about that. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, one of the things that you can expect to see in 2019 from us is some major promotions where we're going to ask our own members to submit their ideas for festivals themselves. And they will be named festivals for that person that will be featured on a monthly basis. We're very excited about doing that. We're also asking our subscribers starting next year with our new, with our reboot of our product, we're going to be asking them to submit their own ideas for editorials or their own editorials, and the best of those are going to be chosen to be part of it. We want to be a community, we want to be a platform, and we want to be a hub, so that we're not just a one-trick pony where we're just showing movies. So I'm with you 100% when it comes to curation. I'm with you 100% when it comes to editorial and what it needs to be and how we're referencing what we're doing.
So are you saying that people will be able to create like a playlist, you know, or something like that?
That's
and share
exactly
that?
Exactly right. Exactly right. And what we're going to do is ask them not just to create a playlist of their favorites, but we might ask them to come up with an idea for what they think is an appropriate festival on Fandor that goes to a different specific area of interest that may interest them, that may be off the beaten track that you would never think of associating films or even short form content.
And will they be able to upload videos of themselves? Will they be present as that moderator or that personality?
That's our hope. We definitely want to recognize them, whether it be video, whether it be still photography, whether it be descriptions of what they're doing. And it's about not just the what, but it's about the why.
Way back in the day when the American Film Institute had their enhanced TV lab, Turner Classic Movies came in and created a prototype called Movie Mogul. And it was way before Filmstruck. And it was the idea that you would go through all of their movies and can't remember all the rules, but it was something that everybody who was watching would there would be a competition, and you would move up and up, and then you would become the movie mogul. There was a whole sort of a sort of method by which you would recommend movies to other people, and somehow you would become, you know, the big king, queen. I probably should go back and find out those details again, but it was a fabulous way to drive interest. And
Well, I'm a big TCM fan, and I have been actually in the cable side of marketing before joining Fandor for years, and worked with companies like AMC when it was Strictly Movies, people like that. And I would say that you're not off track. Although it'll be different, it will have a lot of the same benefits that you're talking about with what we're going to do. We want to recognize people. We also want to be much like that local bookstore, that you walk in on the rack and you see the staff recommends. But we also want what our members recommend. So that's all part of the way that we're approaching as we reboot.
You know, we forgot to actually ask you about technology, since this is tea time, which is technology and TV. But can you say what platform you're using to distribute all of this content? Because you're on Roku and Apple TV and Chromecast and Kindle. You're accessible. You're not on TiVo, but I'm kind of curious what kind of technology underpins this platform.
Right now, you've hit some of the main players. We are also working with some of the cable distribution companies as well. And we find that we're going to be featured on the Roku channel as well. And we are in most of the platforms, frankly, and we'll be expanding that by the beginning of the year. So you're not going to have any problem finding us, whether it's on your mobile device, whether it's on your laptop or your tablet, or whether it is on your OTT device that you have in your home. So I would say that by the beginning of the year, we should be pretty much everywhere. And frankly, we're about 90% there now. So it's more going to be a surprise that you can't find us than you can find us already.
But can you say, okay, go ahead, Colin.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, maybe you can just reiterate to us before we get going here, what the deal is and how long it lasts for the Filmstruck folks.
Well, I thank you. What we've done is we've put an offer out that says for anybody who is on Filmstruck, that for a 1-year subscription, it's $24.99. You go to fandor.com/promo/Filmstruck0, the number zero, not the word zero, and you'll find that you can do that. We are asking people to verify that they are a Filmstruck customer after they've signed up. We're sending them a verification note that we're asking them to either send in their account number or send in a photograph of their credit card bill that shows that they were Filmstruck. But obviously, we're working on the honor system to a great degree. And if there's one thing that we know about film lovers, is that we can count on them from the honor system standpoint. We want to welcome all of them for a year and get them involved and show them what all the wonderful things are that we're doing. And that's our deal.
Very good.
Well, very exciting. I love the whole community aspect of that. I'd love to talk to you about that another time offline.
Yeah, terrific. Me too. Thank you. So thank you
so much for inviting me to join you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And I know Tracy and I will be checking FanDuel out.
I appreciate it. Thanks
and
again.
Subscribe.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
So that's really exciting, Tracy. I'm really glad it's doing that. And you know, one of the things that I want when I think about services, SVOD services, I really feel like the way that we are going to end up managing our SVOD services is a little bit like the way we manage our TV channels. We have a set of channels that we watch that are our core entertainment channels, and I see that as being, you know, maybe two or three that we subscribe to. There'll be a couple of niche channels in there, and FanDuel could be one of those for movie buffs. And then there'll be a whole bunch of free stuff, like, for example, the Roku channel. That might be a regular place that people go to get more casual content and to find new content. So I really feel like that's the world that we're heading to here. So I think there's room for FanDuel, and there could even be room for this new Warner Media HBO-anchored service. I've never subscribed to HBO, and maybe a broader approach might get me watching that content.
I think attract people and retain people, or if it's just going to be, you know, the services out there that just, you know, provide you with a new way to access the content that you watch, but it's buried somewhere and you have to navigate to find it. I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, me too.
Who's going to stand out?
I never felt that was a problem with Filmstruck. I never felt like the content was buried. It was always easy to find something really interesting to watch. And so let's hope that other services, if you have a service, go and check out Filmstruck before it shuts down next month. It really is a great experience, and you should be using that as a model, particularly if you're servicing niche markets. But
I'm trying to watch a film a day. I am trying to fit it in. I'm so busy, but I am really trying to fit a film or even two. I'm simultaneously watching. But there's so much content out there that I do want to watch, but I'm
right.
You know,
binge before the end. But I think we're just about out of time this week, Tracy.
I could keep talking on this topic. I do think one more point is I do think that extending to the community, to, you know, building out a relationship with the community is a very smart move.
So important. Yeah.
And so Filmstruck/Turner, you know, we're doing that with festivals and cruises and wine
and classes. State. It was a complete thing. And I love the fact that they were working hand in hand with Turner Classic Movies, that it was that they were sister services, that they worked together and they cooperated on those things. And that's one of the things that I think that perhaps AT&T lost sight of when they decided to shut it down. That this is a sister service, and that the two Turner Classic Movies and Filmstruck really worked together as a unit. So, but you know, it's gone.
I hope they find something else. I hope they're not short-sighted, that they don't recognize that those things are powerful and there's a lot of potential and a lot of, you know, potential for revenue. But all right, that's it for
Never
today.
Mind. That's it for today. Tracy, great, great conversation as usual.
Yes, I'm going to go back to Random Harvest, starring Greer Garson and Ronald Coleman. And also Look Back in Anger. Those are the two ones I'm watching right now with Richard Burton. All right, stay tuned another time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Talk to you all soon.